America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship, hoping we would too. Friendship, pass it on, from the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
I'm Ivy Hilton, and you are listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
America Meditating Radio Show. Tuning to love as we grow.
Write thank you notes.
Tell the truth all the time.
These motivating thoughts from Randy Pausch's last lecture remind each of us to live our dreams.
Be creative every day.
Take a fun trip. Motivation. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Hello and welcome to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum 2. If you have not been here to witness the sunset here, you're missing something. And I'm going to start to tweet out the sunsets when I'm actually here. Most magnificent views you'll ever see on the planet. We hope that you've been doing well and you're taking good care of your mind, your body, and your relationships, because a lot of times people say, mind, body, and spirit. And as far as I understand it, the mind is in the spirit and your body is outside of the spirit. And the way that your mind functions in terms of through your body has an impact on the relationships that you choose to cultivate, or the relationships that you choose to maybe run away from, or sometimes the ones that you feel like you've done everything possible to mankind, but it's not working. There's some healing that needs to go on, and we all need healing anyway. So it's just a matter of being able to know the right prescription to heal the mind and the body, and also in relationships. Stay tuned. We have an incredible Dr. Manoj Jain, who is a physician and writer and national leader in healthcare, and he's going to be joining us in about just a few minutes after this meditation. As we know, meditation is really about helping your mind and your body and your relationships to be a whole lot better than they are now. And when we're able to cultivate a quality of a particular aspect of ourselves, then we are not only healing our own inner world, but we're healing the relationships that are around us that tend to be a little bit challenging at times. So hold tight. Don't let go of those individuals who are your greatest teachers and your greatest test papers. They're actually helping you to get marks. Breathe in. Relax as we let it go from my off-the-grid into the heart CD. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. let go of your gender, to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time,
welcome back. How's that feeling for you? Are you getting closer into your belief and your power? I hope so, because that's really the main reason why I produce that DVD for everyone, is that I wanted everyone to be in their position of power and to be in their glory of power as well. My friends, we've got the wonderful Dr. Manoj Jain, who is an infectious disease physician and writer and national leader in healthcare quality improvement. Dr. Jain writes regularly for the Washington Post, HuffPost, and the Commercial Appeal and Memphis newspaper. His writings also appear in the New York Times and the Times of India. Now, he has served as a consultant to the World Bank on HIV and has been interviewed by CNN and National Public Radio. Dr. Jain has conducted research on spirituality and medicine and is an adjunct assistant professor at Emory University and the medical doctor at Tennessee Quality Improvement Organizations. He is also faculty for the Institute of Healthcare Improvement and is on the leadership team for the Healthy Memphis Common Table Community Partners Council and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant. A friend of ours, actually two folks, sent us an email saying, could you have Dr. Jain on the air? And today we're really happy that we were able to get him in his busy schedule to join us on the America Meditating Radio Show. Welcome, Dr. Jain.
Yes, Thank you very much, Sister Jenna. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, wonderful. You know, two of our friends just said, you've got to get this person on. I just want to hear more of the work that he's doing. And then they forwarded me the article in the Post, and I really enjoyed reading it, Dr. Jane. You seem to be very busy. You're very much entrenched in the work of the healthcare field. Tell our listeners a little bit about how did Dr. Jane begin his journey of being interested in something as physical as the cells and medicine?
Absolutely. So it comes a lot from my Eastern background. I come from the background of the Eastern tradition of Jainism, and my parents had that part of their day-to-day rituals, coming and going and praying. And for the early part of my life, I didn't pay much attention. But through high school, some of those spiritual questions really became powerful. Powerful questions like, did God make man or did man make God? You know, those types of questions led me to a spiritual journey. And what I found in that journey was the conversation that and the practice of meditation to be incredibly helpful. And over the years, through medical school and through my practice as a doctor, I found that this was something that medicine was missing, that the modern-day medicine could benefit tremendously from the ancient learnings of the scriptures as well as the practices.
So tell us, in spiritual terms, how do you translate the body? I look at the body as an instrument, a vehicle in which the soul or the spirit expresses its sum total of karmas. From a medical point of view and from a man who is also entrenched in his values and his spirituality, what's your understanding of that?
Sure. So I look at it in three ways that we are all made up of in part. Is one is the body, and the body being physical. The other part of us is the soul. And the soul is something that science doesn't believe in, but that's completely based on faith. And then there's an element that we can talk about, which is sort of the mind, which allows us to sort of work and connect the body and the soul in ways. I sit and think in the scientific terms, and there's only the body. We don't talk about the soul in our medical day-to-day lives. But when it comes to being at home and then beginning to have a conversation about who we are and where we came from, that's when I think the concept of the soul is so incredibly important. And that's what I use, that concept of the soul, to sort of help me better understand who I am, where I came from, and where I'm going.
That's beautiful. It's so important nowadays. And the narrative of soul is emerging more and more because I think it's not just a theory anymore, Dr. Jane. I think we're actually experiencing ourselves as something just greater than the way that we're living. I want to bring reference to the recent blog you wrote. You discuss a number of psychological and physical benefits of meditation. And you mentioned how doctors in other countries have incorporated mindfulness in their guidelines. But you say that given all of this, you do not regularly recommend mindfulness or other meditation practices to your patients, where you still advise them to exercise and eat proper and take the right medicines. Why are you sometimes reluctant to recommend meditation to your patients? And I know I'm asking you a million questions, but it's really important. No. And have you seen the medical field and government becoming more open to meditation and mindful practices?
Sure. So for a number of years until recently, I didn't feel comfortable talking to patients about meditation, because many times patients sort of think of this as a fringe practice, something that's strange and exotic. And in fact, that's what happened on several occasions when I did talk to patients, and they did not think that it could be helpful to their health and well-being. But now we have sufficient evidence through a number of research studies to show that mindfulness and meditation in areas of anxiety and depression can be very helpful. And you talked about other countries. So such as an example, in United Kingdom, one of the recommendations for patients who have recurrent depression is to a practice of mindfulness. And it is shown to be as effective as an antidepressant pill. And so what we are, from the scientific perspective, are doing is bringing these practices as another tool in our ability to help and treat patients. Now, it often depends on the patient and how accepting they are of these practices. But more and more, I have become more comfortable talking about them with my patients, and many other doctors have as well. And the reason I wrote this article was to really encourage that, to really encourage the patient to ask their doctor about these practices, and for doctors to say it's perfectly okay to talk about meditation and mindfulness and many of these practices, just as we talk about exercise, about diet. And honestly, several decades from now, that's what will be happening, I believe. I believe that meditation will become hardwired as one of the other preventive measure tools to have us find our sense of emotional well-being as well as physical well-being.
Thank you for saying that. I think that is so important as we inspire a lot of individuals who might shy away from meditation only because, and again, it's an individual's choice. I don't believe that meditation is to empty your mind, but I do think it is to replace certain unhealthy patterns of thinking so that you can live your life fully. And I'm
sure.
a very strong advocate toward not emptying, because I don't know why you would think your life is not valuable enough to continue to keep living, just to take out the thoughts from your memory track that just aren't working for you anymore.
Scientifically speaking, we have to talk about, when we talk about meditations, there are three types of meditations. In scientifically, we talked about focused attention, which is meditation and meditating on your breath. The other is open monitoring type meditation, which is mindfulness type meditation. And the third is self-transcendence, sort of going beyond thoughts. And now we're getting to know these different types of meditations and seeing what can be used for what types of medical conditions as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, Dr. Jane, conflicts are continuing. We are hurting each other even though we've got so much resource and knowledge and skills. Human conflicts kill just like a disease, like AIDS, breast cancer, or natural disasters such as an earthquake. As such, conflicts are part of our public health challenge. Now, elaborate a little bit more on this. How are human conflicts a part of our public health challenge? What can we do to bring about more peacefulness in our society?
So that's a very good question. This is something that we're teaching many of our students in, across the country. And in fact, I'm in Washington next week teaching the emergency room doctors at Children's Hospital. And what we talk about is we live often in this state of mindlessness or distractedness where we don't think about what's happening. Through the practice of meditation, the three types of meditation, we can achieve a state of mindfulness, which is moment-to-moment awareness without judgments. When we practice mindfulness, we're able to transform ourselves. We can transform ourselves in the body, the mind, and the soul. We can transform ourselves in our body by becoming more healthy. There's ample evidence to show that mindfulness and meditation improves our health, makes us live longer. We can transform ourselves with our minds by becoming more peaceful, becoming more nonviolent, and we have evidence to show that. We also transform our minds in becoming more compassionate, and we transform our minds in becoming more wise, having more insightfulness, wisdom. And lastly, we transform through the practice of meditation ourselves and increasing our spiritual growth. And so that's what I talk about in many of these conversations, is what mindfulness can do is transform the body, the mind, the soul, bring wellness, peace, compassion, wisdom, and spiritual growth, all of which leads to what we all seek, which is happiness. And this is not happiness which is pleasure. Rather, it's contentment and fulfillment with meaning and purpose in life. And that's essentially the core message. We call it the mindfulness model that we teach many of our students.
Nice. It's been so wonderful having you on the air today. I really have taken a lot from our conversation. And since you're going to be in Washington, D.C., if you would love to conduct a conversation on this at our museum, we'd be honored to arrange that. Before I let you go, could you please share with our listeners, is there a favorite life quote for Dr. Jane currently?
One of the life quotes, there are many, but Mahatma Gandhi is the one who inspires me, and be the change that you want to see in the world is the one that I truly love. I think it, if we want to see the world become a better place, it does not begin with the outside. It really begins with the inside, and I would encourage people to find that as a solution. We see global problems, we see national and local problems that are happening in front of us all the time, but if we can find peace within ourselves, I think that's probably the most important way. And we just hope that other people can do that too, and that would resolve many of the world conflicts that we see again and again.
Thank you so much. Where can our listeners find more information about the work that you're doing?
Sure. I have a website which has my articles and blogs that are there. It's mjane, as mjanmd, as medical doctor, .com. And that website, you can register for a regular email as well. And so mjanmd.com will have a lot of information about the work that I'm doing, as well as the writings and the sharings about meditation.
Dr. Jane, thank you so much, and all the best, always.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So you've heard it, folks, from a physician who himself might have been challenged about even talking about meditation, but maybe innately feeling that there is benefit in it. I think for him, he felt it for himself as well. And there are so many stories about the benefits of meditation. Yes, it's not always best if you're just in an extremely emotional bad place or mentally not always at your best, then it might be more important to try something more physical before you go into your meditation routine. But there's so much benefits to it. Emotional, physical, psychological, even issues in the healthcare in terms of even our world at large. I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Jane today. For more information, mjanemd.com/blog. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. I want to put a shout out to Reshma Thakkar, who is doing her belief explore quest. Reshma was on Oprah Winfrey's Belief First series on searching for herself, and from this whole journey that she's been on, she's emerged with an incredible journal and conversation featuring folks like Daniel Laporte, Don Miguel, India Ari, yours truly, Sister Jen, is doing the guided meditations. Please tune into that. If you don't have information anywhere around that you can find it, just go to our website on meditationmuseum.org, or just go to Reshma Thakkar, and that's going to be Belief Explore Quest. No one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are learning to love each other the same, so let's do it. Take care, everyone. All the very best. Driven and hungry.
turn